All right, everyone, we are back again. This is Inside City Limits. We are here to mope and recap yet another loss from our boys in red this weekend. It was another frustrating game, a lot of chances that we had, a lot of missed opportunities. Fellas, I don't know if we want to do just like general takeaways before we dive into specifics, but I guess I can ask just, is it going to keep getting worse? Is this rock bottom? I mean, our expectations were low, but I mean, this was really disappointing.
This isn't rock bottom. Rock bottom is losing 2-0 to KC.
So it's worse.
No, yeah, this is a good team. This was a great team, and it should be 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we played awful. This is the best team in the MLS we played against this week.
It's just frustrating. I think that's my takeaway. If I could describe it in one word, this might be the most stupid thing anyone's ever said, but I would rather them just get not shut out, but like just not be able to draw up anything offensively and play a team like ours with a great back line that locks everything down than to have all of those missed opportunities and just point blank not convert them.
Now I know you're lying. Because that is exactly what happened the first 2 weeks, and you were just as mad as you are now. I think this was a fantastic performance for the team. I mean, we all knew that Columbus was one of, if not the best team in the MLS right now. And just breaking the scoreless streak was enough for me to take this game as a positive, even with an L.
I think that I'm definitely being dramatic, but I think fantastic is a bit of a stretch.
Well, you know, I'm a glass half full guy, not a, the glass is broken and always empty guy like you.
I think if it was 2-2, kind of with how we played in certain spots, if it was 2-2, I think, I don't know, fantastic is still strong. If you're not winning the game, I don't know if you can say fantastic, but definitely it would have been more of a positive. I mean, should have been 2-2. It should have been 3-2. We had so many ways. Cole, you were talking about the wasted opportunities. I mean, some of these were just sitters right in front of net that we, it's like, yeah, that's a good chance. The XG is probably not too high on it, but I think we could have scored that. But some of these were just right there in front. All you have to do is just more than what you did, like just one better touch, like in the final third, one better shot. And their goalie played great, but I mean, It feels like wasted points once again. It almost feels like the Colorado game, you know, just points that we should have had that we didn't. And that was a complete opposite, you know, of how the game went. We didn't really control this game at all, but it just, that's kind of the same feeling I had after this game, is just wasted points.
I mean, we had 30% possession. Well, we had more expected goals. I think the same amount of big chances and, I think it's a positive game. I think it was a fantastic game by City. But it's just, you're just playing a team in a different class right now.
I know the focus of a lot of the anger this week is going to be the missed chances. Cause I mean, like you guys said, fourth or fifth week in a row of just missing sitters and missing open shots and stuff. But I want to get out in front and say, this was by far the worst our defense has looked all year. They looked awful.
Yeah, but they're missing half of their starters at this point, it feels like. And Yarrow had to leave in the 24th. Or what was it, the 35th or something? I mean, it was early he had to leave.
Yeah.
It's just, as he left, we went right back to the five at the back. So that's inexcusable to still suck at five in the back. I mean, I know Watts is no one's favorite. But he still had Kessler and Hebert out there. Kessler had his worst game by far. He can't have bad games or defense look like that. I mean, I can't count how many times they were behind us. It seemed like every attack they got behind us, and we were just able to get in front of the shot.
But you got Totlin's out. Nilsson's missed the game. Durkin, you know, this is horrible. You're missing, what is that? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 to 5 every game starters. When you get down into the dirty of the roster, at the back, it's just, it's going to look rough, especially, and I'm going to keep saying it, especially of a team, I guess a team like Columbus that has so much quality. It's just, it's just where we're at right now. The injuries are piling up. But I mean, we scored.
Jack, you brought up Horn. Seeing Bumgarner play 90 minutes, I think I'd rather have him in the lineup than Horn. I'm not saying he did anything special, but I think he was definitely more solid, and he's got more of a veteran presence than Horn does. I'd rather see him there in the starting lineup from now on.
It's like seeing a unicorn out there. I couldn't believe it was actually real.
All right. All right. We could start at the beginning because we're skipping over something that I can't believe we haven't talked about yet. I guess we talked about scoring, but Lunt, honestly, before the goal, had a couple good, or at least one big save. I think it was Rossi in the 6th minute. He had another one in the first half against Moreira. He looked good in the first 45. He makes that save in the 6th that sets us up for a moment that I didn't think would ever come, is that Klaus finally found the back of the net, for God's sakes. And Jack called it in his goal scorer prediction.
I told you he was due. I've been saying that since week 2. Klaus is due. And I think you're really underselling Lund's save in the 34th. That was the one where he was diving and got it out of the top corner. That was an amazing save. I thought Lund had a pretty good game. I mean, I do think he might have been able to get that second goal, if I'm remembering the goals correctly. But it's the same thing, you know. That's our second goalkeeper. There's only so much he can do. I thought we had a great game. I know the ratings don't tell you that much. But yeah, I thought we had a great game. Maybe the diving saves are swaying my opinion too much.
I think that the first goal, you can't really expect him to do much. I mean, it was a great ball from the right side. I think that, we'll get into it later, but I think that that save was huge, and especially afterwards with that goal and getting the early momentum, which again brings me back to, you know, it would have almost been another missed chance because that first shot of Klaus's, first of all, an insane run by Celio up that left-hand side. I think he beat the same defender twice in a row, like past the midfield line and then again in the box.
I think it was 3 to 4 times.
I mean, it was in one sequence. I mean, it was insane. And Klaus got a pretty good look. I mean, left-footed. He was a little off balance. I think he just got lucky, that crossbar, ball in the air, and then I guess, I don't know what the goalkeeper was doing because it wasn't that fast of a header. It just kind of found its way in. I don't know.
Yeah, Celio, I mean, he went all the way down the left with the ball and then completely at a standstill, beats him off like a one-touch, like in towards the end line. Plays a pretty good ball with pace. Klaus's shot was crazy. It just went barred down and out, and then, of course, right to him. And 1-0 City is looking good. I'd have been pretty upset if Klaus has that touch inside that goes bar in and out and he doesn't score that on the header afterwards. Because it's just like, man, there's another chance that we, you know, that's how you start the game now, is how the whole season's gone, is a striker can't finish. But it was good resilience to stay with that. And the goalie was going the other way, and by the time he corrected, even though that ball was slow off the head of Klaus, he couldn't get there. And it was a good goal set up by that save by Lunt. I mean, Rossi was like 10 feet away from the goal. He got it with the right hand, extended out. So it was a good play and a good start to the game.
Once he hit that crossbar, I let out an audible no, and then watched that slow header trickle in. And it's like, yeah, of course, that's the one he's going to get, the one that's just slowly rolls by everybody. But it was just so nice to finally see him score. You could really feel you could see the weight kind of come off his shoulders after he scored that. He was pretty excited. It was awesome to see.
I love the celebration, and it had been quite a while since we'd seen it. I mean, I put it on our sheet. It's been over 337 days, I think it was, since he last scored against Chicago in May of last year. So that was not only a team drought this season not being able to score, but I mean, that was, you know, that's got to be sticking in his head.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was so nice to see him actually score. It was just, almost feels like it's going to free him up, and I'm going to say he's going to go on a little goal scoring run here.
Are you just copying Masters' take? Like, now that he won a Masters, he's going to be on a hot streak?
No, but Rory will win another two Masters, I can call right now.
Mike, do you care to comment?
I've been told I cannot speak about Rory McIlroy.
At least he's learning.
I hope Klaus goes on a run. It's kind of hard to think anybody's going to go on a run with how our offense looks. If it's going to be somebody on the team, it will be Klaus, though.
Yeah, we're starting to learn that Toy Shirt just can't finish early on this year. So I think it would be Klaus to go on a run, because I don't know how much more playing time Betcher's going to see. Toy Shirt's out there a lot, but he just keeps missing. And
Six more weeks.
Yeah, we might need to issue an apology with Jack on Betcher. I've been pumping his tires the last couple weeks, giving him the benefit of the doubt.
You know, I might have been a little too aggressive, but that doesn't mean I was wrong.
I could agree with that. I think we're going to kind of try to go in chronological here a little bit, but yeah, those misses for Betcher were real tough. It's kind of getting hard to defend him. But the other striker, like Trevor said, Toyshirt, bad miss.
Yeah, you guys got to keep the same energy across the board, because Toyshirt's been doing the same thing.
No,
yeah, absolutely.
Toyshirt has been just sending them all the way into the back rows, you know?
Yeah, this one was hard to tell.
How is that not as bad?
Because at least he's getting some oomph on it.
Oh my God.
He's not hitting off his shin to the keeper's chest.
This one didn't seem to miss.
Goes to Rosie.
This one didn't seem to miss as bad, but definitely sent it pretty far up into the supporter section there.
He hasn't kept it under the bar like at all.
It's a great ball by Hartel. This is like in the 13th minute, so you know it's still 1-0. If you bury another one there, you're really set up for success. And Hartel, great ball in, and yeah, Toyshirt takes it on his right and sends it, I don't know, about, it's probably only about 6 inches over the bar, but it just had so much pace on it that it got pretty far up there in the stands.
Well, Olaf needs to grab him and be like, hey man, it's not hockey. You don't have to score in the top corner. Like his angle he had, you guys remember Walm's miss against KC?
Yeah.
I think he had that angle. And for some reason, he put as much power as he could into it. I don't get it. I don't get how our strikers can't fucking score goals.
Wallum's angle actually might have been even harder. Like, this one wasn't that bad of an angle. And I think you definitely need to have a conversation with Toyshirt. Like, dude, it's not, you know, Bundesliga 2. It's some of these goalies. And don't get me wrong, this Columbus goalie yesterday was pretty good. I think he ended up getting, like, player of the game or whatever, but you can beat some of these MLS goalies, man. If you're just putting it far side on target with just a little pace, you don't have to, yeah, you don't have to roof it every single time.
Oh, Manuel Neuer. This guy went to SLU, all right?
I knew that was coming at some point. I knew that was coming. I agree, though. Side netting, you don't need much. That's why it's so frustrating, and it's the same with KC, they're both early chances. You net that, the game's completely different. I mean, even if the goal in the second half gets, you know, stays the same, you know, it's not given. You have that Toyshirt chance, you have the Betcher chances. I mean, I went through, which I was, you know, very annoyed and frustrated when I did this, but I kind of made a note in my game notes of all the missed chances. I think I had 8 total, and 6 of them were in the second half after like 65. So you could have tied, if not won, that game.
Yeah, he does. He did the thing he always does. We don't always score, but as soon as we score, we sit back. You can't. It's 80 minutes after we scored. You can't park the bus for 80 minutes and expect to win, especially against Columbus of all the teams.
I guess we'll talk about the missed chances a lot if we haven't already. Going back after that Toyshirt miss, there was a little bit of a lull in those other, like the next 20 minutes or so, until that Yarrow incident, I guess is what we'll call it, injury. I don't really know. He was it a cross that he fielded or he like took a hit to the head, went down, there's a lengthy delay. He goes off, gets a test or, you know, an assessment, goes back on for like 5 minutes and then gets pulled for Watts.
Yeah, he was pulled off and I guess passed his test. And then as soon as he got back out there, the training staff saw something they didn't like. And that's when he ended up coming off. But Olaf in the pregame presser said it wasn't a concussion. So I don't know. We'll have to hear more from training this week. But it was definitely, yeah, it was like a ball in with some pace to it. As soon as he headed it out, looks like it got it right on the forehead. He fell over right away. So I was surprised to even see him go in at all. But then he came out a couple minutes later for Watts, like you said.
I don't get if he's got a concussion, why are you going to let him play for five more minutes? I mean, what did you see in the 5 minutes of him jogging around the back line that you couldn't assess when he was on the ground?
Yeah, I don't know if he was like wobbly or something, but it said they gave a like a little sheet of paper to the media after with a statement. And I think in it they said the medical staff continued to monitor the player and determined further evaluation was warranted. And then they took, I don't know if he like was, you know, looking hazy or what it was, but they I guess saw something that they needed to get him out immediately for.
I'd rather err on the side of caution with concussions.
Yeah, I agree. He should have been taken out as soon as he fell over after getting in the head, hit in the head. Unless he was trying to, you know, like the back line was getting berated at that point. I figured like when he went down, I was like, he could be just going down to give his guys a breather at this point. But then apparently they saw more. So obviously it wasn't that. So I don't know how he was out back out there in the first place, if he actually was hurt.
Especially with the health of the center back position. Like, Horn's out, Nilsson's out. I mean, Yarrow starting in general, I mean, we're on our reserves. And so him also, you know, going back in, risking something worse and having it be a lengthy injury would not really benefit anybody, to say the least.
I mean, we're going to see Winsel at some point.
They're going to have to go at four at the back.
Next week.
We're running out of center backs. They have to start going four at the back. I know they did a little bit late.
We have three on the bench last week. JGR and Winsel were both on the bench.
I guess JGR can play center back. It's. I don't know why he hasn't been playing. I want to see how they use him because I know last year he played a little bit of like that CDM, like the Blom role. But then he also can play center backs. It's I don't know how they're going to use him. I mean, heck, we just now been seeing how they're going to use Bumgarnel. It's center back, and then when it is 10 minutes left in the game, he's a striker.
I thought that he played pretty well.
I agree. I thought he played fine. I think he deserves another start. He's going to probably get one.
Who, Winsel?
I don't know. They the way they're talking, I think Nilsson's going to be back next week.
Wonder if he's still in pain.
I don't think maybe a day goes by that knee's not in pain.
Maybe a Nilsson, Hebert, Bumgarnel back three center back next week?
I mean, you won't hear the other three say it, Kessler. Faithful listeners, but Hebert had yet another solid game.
Oh, Kessler, duh. I mean, Hebert would be out wide. I can't believe I forgot Kessler.
I wish Hebert was the center back.
Can we talk about the sub he made for Yarrow? Because I have a few thoughts about this.
I've been waiting for that, Mike. Go ahead.
And this is something you guys can go back. I've been having this issue with Olaf for several weeks. His subs make zero sense. I don't know if Watts has some blackmail or something on Olaf, but why is Watts seeing this many meaningful minutes? I know we're injured. There's got to be a better sub than Watts. One, we talked about it last week, how well it looked, and Olaf even talked about it leading up to this week, about Wallum and Celio, how good they work together. So why is Celio starting on the other side of the field?
That one was confusing. With? Yeah, that one was confusing because it's like Celio even commented on how well he played with Wallum, and then you just separate them. And then
Olaf.
Yeah, and Wallum had a fine game, but like he definitely was not as impactful as he was the game before when he was playing with Celio on that side. That's why I didn't want to see Wallum as like a wing back at all the rest of this season. And he definitely needs to be on that left side with Pompeo and both.
Right. And then fruition. Yarrow gets hurt, taken out. And what do? You put Watts in at the right wing back spot, which he has not played well at since Tottenham went down. We need to avoid the right wing back until Tottenham comes back. He's apparently the only one on the team who can play it. And then you put Wallen back at the left wing back and move Hebert back to the center back. It makes no sense. I didn't understand that. None of his subs made sense again. I mean, I know we're going in chronological order, but it's the 87th minute. It's a little late to put subs on that can make a meaningful difference in a game you're losing. I'll stop and let you guys talk about it, but I could go on about his subs for hours.
I definitely agree with that. 87th minute subs. That's, you bring in subs at that point. I mean, to get some people minutes, I get it, but like, if you actually want, unless you're planning on having 11 minutes of stoppage time, there's no time for them to get involved in the game. Doesn't need to be made in the 75th, at least, hopefully earlier. So I agree with that big time. And then Watts, he's getting too many minutes. He just turns the ball over so much. He has no impact on the game. He does have some speed on the right side, so I get wanting to play him as like a wing back, but defensively he's not that good either. So we got to switch it up from him. I think he's just...
The only time he played well this year was when he was in the midfield while Durkin was hurt.
And he was playing... He's playing
with Leuven. With Leuven, yeah. That he kind of sat back, and we're asking him to do too much, or that's the only position that he can play meaningfully. But I'm tired of seeing Watts be the first sub out every game.
I agree. I don't want to see Watts at the right wing back, but I what else does he have? Everybody's hurt.
Yeah,
I mean. Who else are you gonna? I would sub Winsel in. We haven't seen Winsel all season, and we're down three center backs. I think there's a reason he's not playing. Olaf obviously doesn't like what he sees out of him. I'm just looking at who was on our bench yesterday, and I'm trying to figure out what else you could have really done. I mean, Zielinski, same thing with Winsel. We're down half of our defense, and they haven't started or
you could
played
keep
a minute.
3-4-3. Throw Ostrock out there and have Ebert move back.
I'm not gonna lie, that sound. I was on Jack's side because there is not much else you could do, at least like defensively. But Ostrock looked pretty good, Kid City. Fuck you. Put him on. You bring him
out there. Yeah, I mean, it's just 3-4-2-1 formation. So why does when one go down, you don't just move one back and throw out another midfielder? You could have even kept Watts out at the midfield, and I would have been happier.
Ostrock definitely needs more minutes.
But then if you bring in an Ostrock, like, is you put Hebert on that right wing out there where Watts was? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying keep the three at the back and just have Hebert drop back as another center back. And have Ostrock play the wings that Hebert was playing.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I just don't – with that offense of Columbus, I mean, we got cooked all – game, basically, at least in that second half, it felt like a lot. I don't know. I think the three at the back would have went just as poorly.
I mean, we're
you got to try to get some offense going.
Where I think you're losing a big thing is having Hartel all the way back in the midfield by Morales. I think he needs to be more up front. It's just everybody's hurt. Personally, I'm going to give Olaf a pass for how much Watts has been playing because there's nobody
else.
That goes
back to you can't sit and park the bus for 80 minutes against the best team in the league. Because as soon as Yara went out, that's when we moved to the five at the back and we just stopped playing offense. We had one more dangerous opportunity the rest of the half?
Klaus header, which missed by about a foot. Great ball in, though. I can't remember who played that ball in. It might have been a Wallum.
It's not the first time that – actually, I think it was Watts. But it's not the first time that we sat – because it came from the right. It's not the first time that we've sat here and talked about he parks the bus too much. And he does it too early in games. We scored, went 1-0, and it seemed like we gave up. Like, oh, we'll just ride this one out. Hope Lunt makes a couple more diving saves. He did. Not enough.
I'll start judging Olof a lot more harshly when Leuven is back in the midfield, because Leuven's kind of the engine that makes the whole team run. So, you know, he's definitely one of the key parts we're missing. I do agree with Mike. I don't think Olof's been doing a great job with some of these subs and how he's putting these formations in. But we're also missing arguably our best player if you leave out Berkey. As soon as Leuven comes back, and if there's still the same issues, I definitely think we can be.
How many more times do you have to see him sub Leuven out in the 65th minute?
That's true. Leuven's fitness wasn't there, and luckily, when you only have 30 minutes of Morales, it's not as if like not that Morales has been playing bad. I just think you need Leuven in there to. I agree with you. I just think that'll be he deserves more of the hate on his decisions once you get some of these guys back.
I just think you get 30 players on your roster. You get 11 starters, 9 subs. There's 20. We're missing 8. We have 7 injured and Leuven's on personal leave. I think you'd have to give Olof a pass for at least the first half of the season. It's just been absolutely insane how injured we've been, how many players we're missing. And honestly, some really bad, unlucky calls from the referees and just some unlucky chances that haven't
been. These injuries didn't start day one.
If you think in the first four games,
he had a full team.
Berkey played, what, 3 games? Totland played 3 games.
But he's making the same decisions. It's just little worse players are coming on as the subs.
Yeah, but the first four games were 2-2, like 2-2-0. So, he's making the
goals. Yeah, the 3-0, and that was it. And I mean, we were all sitting here. I mean, I think we've been complaining about the same thing all season. So, I mean, I'm not Olof out. You know, it's way too early for that. But every week, it's looking like a mistake. It looks like he doesn't know how to manage the game. I can't remember the last time a sub made sense to me. Going back to last week when he took off Celio for Becher.
I think the only subs I've agreed with in the last couple of games is when we're down and he brings on Ostrock. Just like an offensive-minded player at that point. But, yeah, I'd agree with that statement, though.
He is just very – he really values, fresh legs. And I think that – because I feel like I've heard him talk about it in a presser before where he's like, at the 65th or the 70th minute, would want a fresh Morales than like a Leuven who's exhausted. Or I mean, not in those words, obviously, but something like that. And I think that I'm not Olof out either. I'm annoyed. I think that you kind of have to wait until this team is at least somewhat full strength before you can really, I see people on Twitter saying Lutz and Olof out. I'm like,
I've been seeing that too. I think you go back to the Austin game. You know, this is on the subbing. Ostrock for Morales, Klaus for Becher, Celio for Durkin. I mean, that changed that game. We were so close to scoring against Austin. I just don't think he has who he needs available. And it's just, I mean, should that be an excuse? No, but. It's also year one. He doesn't. I would say that he doesn't have the players he wants or needs to run his system.
Well, that's for sure. Because he talks about he usually doesn't do 5 in the back, but this is the players he's been given.
Basically,
he's only had
the players are shit.
Yeah. We need better quality. It's just like the first 3 games. Or is the only time we've really had a full roster, and that's still without Alm and Nielsen.
And we played great.
And Reed. And yeah, we played good. So that's why I'm giving him and Lutz a pass right now. But if it's June and we do have some of these guys back and we're still seeing the same issues, not only does Olof need to be under a little bit more pressure, but Lutz has been giving us these guys that just don't produce, can't stay healthy, just miss after miss after miss.
The only person that is playing meaningful minutes now that we didn't have at the start is Celio. And I would have liked to see how he used Celio to start. Obviously, Celio's come back from that terrible injury he had, but
I think it's the opposite. It's who's not playing meaningful minutes that should be.
Well, but my point is, when we had everybody besides Celio at the start of the year, I'm seeing the same subs, and I'm seeing the same, let's sit at the back now that we have decided we want this draw, or we're up 1-0, let's go sit back. He says he doesn't like five at the back. He goes to it very quickly. He says he wants fresh legs all the time, 65th minute, 70th minute. Why? We don't press. What does he need fresh legs for? I'd rather have tired Leuven that's going to sit back and play keep away and park the bus than I'd rather have Leuven for that than fresh legs Morales.
I was going to say, I agree with his fresh legs statement, but when your fresh legs are a huge drop off in quality, then I don't start agreeing with it. So,
and you're
seeing comment... that.
All right, Trevor, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to add on, as you're seeing that in these guys that come in, like when you have Watts come in, it's just a lack of quality. So it doesn't matter how fresh they are when, you know, these other guys at 50 to 60% in the 80th minute when we get scored on.
He brought up the one time he brought in Klaus for Boettcher, but there's about four of them where he brings in Boettcher for Klaus.
Yeah, but that's just his fresh legs philosophy. I mean, I don't think he's got the players he wants, the players he needs to run the system he wants to play. So he needs to sit back, play defense like he would, and or like he doesn't want to with five at the back. And I can't fault him for the subs that he's making with what we have available, because we don't have half of our first team available.
The comment that he made at the presser was the qualities of the team caused them to play the way that they have been, noting moves to a low block have not been a deliberate choice. It's individual quality. If they're not having success, they go into a mid to low block. So is that just saying the players can't play in the system, or the players aren't good enough? Like,
I think that's what he's saying, is he starts out the game playing how he wants to play, and then when it's not working, he just goes on defense.
Well, it was working.
That's how I'm taking it.
And we still went to defense.
Yeah, but then you lost Yaro, so you had to make an early sub that you didn't want to do.
But he didn't even give the early sub time to see if it work.
I think we've seen enough of Watts to know that it's not going to work.
But Watts in the midfield and Hebert moving back would be different than putting just Watts at a center back.
I mean, I just think the Yaro injury changed the entire way he wanted to play the game. And it's not something you want to have to react to, but it's something he had to react to, and he chose to play the low block. I
think he's too quick on the low block, and his subs make no sense. I'm souring on Olof. I'm definitely not Olof out. I would like to see him with a fully healthy lineup if we ever get there. But from what I've seen, and I mean, I don't know, it's a rough hire as of right now, in my opinion.
I think we saw three full games of a full roster, and we let in zero goals and scored three.
This is a bit off topic, but does it bother you guys at all that he kind of just wears a gym shorts and a t-shirt out on the sidelines? Is it just me? For some reason, it just bothers me a little bit. I just feel like he should dress, you know.
That's an old person take there.
It is an old person.
I would definitely like to see him wear pants.
Yeah, I just...
It does not matter that much to me.
Like, I'm even fine with a t-shirt, but like put a city quarter zip on and maybe, golf pants or something. But
I hope the shorts are shorter next week.
Just go like,
because he's
wearing
old NBA
shorts, man.
Yeah, he's wearing baggy t-shirts. And the talking fashion, his shorts weren't even like city red. They were like dark, like
it literally looks like he was going out to get groceries or something. I mean, that's what he would be wearing in Schnucks.
If you guys saw League One, you would know that I don't think he really puts too much thought into what he's wearing. But no, it doesn't bother me that he's wearing shorts. And honestly, he could coach in swim trunks. I couldn't care less.
You know what does bother me?
Akil Watts?
No, him not going to VAR on Klaus's second goal. Makes
well,
no sense.
I want to talk about the Columbus equalizer first, because that was like the last dagger before the first half. Cecilio definitely got caught ball watching the left. I think he was who was guarding Moreira when he went in and scored. Just kind of flat. Watts did try to make an attempt on the ball, on the cross in. He was just a hair too late. I watched it back today, and it looked like, which not that he's going to be, you know, covering into the midfield or the defensive area, but Toyshirt kind of was near the area where, I don't remember who played the ball in, but he made like that overlapping run and he just kind of let him go. So I thought he was kind of flat footed. It just did not, wasn't a good look.
Yeah, there was three of them. There's like Toyshirt, Morales, and I think Watts on the right side. It's kind of like a 3-on-3, and they just easily like tick attack it past all three of them with minimal effort, and then a great ball as soon as he gets on the sidelines. And Celio, he's at the top of the 18, and before that ball is already halfway, that ball's on its descent before Celio realizes, oh, you know, there's going to be a runner in behind me, and it's too late at that point, no matter how fast Celio is. And he kind of knows that. He puts his hands up right after the goal. It's a good ball, it's a good finish, and there's just got to be more effort there in the corner to win that. Like, where Toyshirt's at, there's got to be more effort on that side to stop them from getting that ball in. And then Celio's just got to be looking behind him. He was looking straight at the ball, like you said, pretty much that entire play, and then it was too late for him to do anything. No chance for Lunt on that one.
Yeah, that was our main worry for Celio when he started ramping back up. And we were talking about where he's going to play. It doesn't really do a lot for you on the defensive side of the field.
I think that's kind of how Wallum is, but again, this week we see him at that left wing back spot eventually. It's just, I don't know, I don't think that's going to be successful.
He put Wallum in the last two spots I would have put him this week. Right mid for some reason, away from Celio, and then left wing back.
The right mid really didn't make sense, because they literally, I sent you guys the thing, they posted a whole graphic with a quote about how well they play together and how well they felt after the KC game. And I think Olaf even talked about it, the presser, and then just to move them. I don't know. Just, I'm trying not to read too much into it and be dramatic about it. But yeah, some of the tactical decisions are a little, you can be skeptical. But saying that the front office needs to go and that he needs to go, and like, it's just crazy how fast people can snowball into saying shit like that.
I don't think it would snowball this quick if the Cardinals were good. And I actually 100% believe that. People are like so agitated about the Cardinals front office that I think it's starting to seep over into just like the rest of our sports teams.
Man, I cannot believe you found a way to blame Mozeliak for this.
It's Mo's fault that City. It's Mo's fault that St. Louis City can't score a goal. Mo needs out.
I mean, destruction is crying. Blaming Mozeliak into this. Oh my gosh!
It's crazy. You think I blamed Mozeliak? I didn't. I'm just saying, Cardinals fans are agitated with how that season's going. That they're doing the same thing. You know, it's the same fan base, same city. They're getting agitated at the front office. They go to the front office first, and then say, just fire everybody.
They're like 500. They're doing
all right. Is Mo also ahead of the pro refereeing organization that screwed us out of that Klaus goal?
Probably.
No, but I bet if the Cardinals were good, they would have reviewed it.
I don't think that's a crazy point to make. That's all I'll say.
VAR hates St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, we've had 3 years of terrible VAR, so I was starting to...
This rule definitely needs to change, and if you're 50, I mean, we'll get into it, but we'll bring it up later, because I could go on and on about the stupid decision by that linesman.
Well, I mean, they What I don't get is, and I think Olaf said this at the post game, why not let the play out however it's going to be, then go look at it. Don't raise the flag and immediately make the call if you're not sure, and then wait 10 minutes, not 10 minutes, but wait forever while they, I guess they were looking at it, but he didn't go to review it. I don't know. I don't know what that delay yeah. was.
It's just like in the NFL, you know, you call it a touchdown so you can go review it.
Yeah, as soon as you put the flag up, you can then no longer reverse
and
it.
What's right? the point? Yeah, I mean, they can look at it, but then you need evidence to overturn the offsides, not evidence that he was offsides, which is...
In my opinion, that linesman was kind of shaky all day, and he was really giving it back to some of the players when they would yell at him. I think it was a little bit of a power trip, but that's just me reading into stuff and being a conspiracy theorist. But he definitely, if you're unsure, don't raise the fucking flag, man, because that cost us points. And it's just the rule, I think, like, why don't we have the same technology they do in other leagues when stuff like that happens? But and then definitely show us a better replay. I don't think they were showing us the correct angle just because they didn't want to prove the referee wrong in that instance. But a lot went wrong. We should have got at least a point out of that. And it's just, like Mike said earlier, VAR is never in our favor, and refs are usually never in our favor. And I'm sure every fan base feels like that. But especially last year, I think our VAR reviews were just astronomically the other way.
Yeah, I'm not going to go in too much on linesmen because that's just a losing battle. You know what I mean? But I'm going to go with the MLS broadcasting for a second. Because after the game, the refs put out statements that all angles were reviewed, and there were none that could conclusively prove that STL number 9 was in an onside position. Therefore, no review could be recommended. So show us these angles. We saw two angles of it, and they were terrible. Neither one would show you conclusively either way.
One angle was straight up like Goodyear blimp away from the stadium. Like, what? Yeah. Why was it so zoomed out? Give us something else. We know that you have closer cameras.
They got to show us those cameras.
But the Klaus said in the presser, when they reviewed it in the, or when he watched it in the clubhouse after the game, he was onside. So he says, unless they were looking at a different angle, I think he said he was onside, and Olaf said the same thing.
I saw screenshots going around from the broadcast. It wasn't the replay, but like they did frame by frame as the ball was hitting his feet. And it definitely looked like I think it was Morales and whatever defender was with him. They were definitely keeping him onside. But just go look at it. Like, what's the harm in going to take a look at it? I just don't understand that aspect. Why hold it up if you're not gonna, like, you could have had them look and make the call in that time you were dicking around in between. And that was quickly followed up with another stretch of terrible finishing. The Celio, which this wasn't as bad as the Betcher miss, don't get me wrong, but that was the one time I was pissed off at him, when he is making that one-on-one run, and instead of playing it to Klaus, just like a quick little through ball behind, he cuts in, he takes too long, keeps ball at his foot, and just completely kills the attack. And it was so annoying to see. I'm so tired of that. It happens every week, it feels like.
Yeah, so it's good for that about 2-3 times a game. But, and they were talking about this on the broadcast with him, though, is he is the only person on our roster that can do that stuff. So you have to let him do it, because you can't. He's the only person who can create something out of nothing on our roster, in my opinion. We haven't seen enough of Hartel or Toyshirt doing it. So you have to let him do that, and you just got to take the bad with the good, unfortunately. But yeah, that was a bad miss.
We kind of skipped over the second goal by Columbus, right? Because we talked a lot about the Klaus VAR.
Yeah. But
Columbus did. Started out with the second goal. And I don't even know who to blame here. First off, right before the half, they also almost scored again. Thank God AZ sucks, and he just puts it wide. But a lot of ball watching going on there. But in the 55th, number 7 for Columbus takes the ball right down the middle. There's just acres of space. I mean, holy cow, there's so much space. Kiebert's running with his man, but Watts is also running parallel and going outside where Hebert's territory is. Morales and Hartel both are 5 yards behind the ball carrier. And then all three center backs were on a line with each other guarding the number nine, which gave, you know, about 10 feet to Rossi, one of the most dangerous players in the MLS. And then from 5 yards out of the 18, he just slots this thing far corner. I don't think Lunt expected a shot from him right there with how many runners were going at him. But it's just one of those frustrating goals. You see Columbus get on the counter right away, and then our whole midfield is just jogging back. No one's trying to catch him. Rossi's got 10 feet. And then Lunt is, I just think, that's a tough save. I don't think you can blame it on Lunt, but he is pretty close again to that near post, which you saw last week. He was really close to that near post, and they beat him far side. He was fully stretched out and missed it still by about a foot, give him a 2-1 lead. And then that's when the Klaus, in the 66th or something like that, is when the Klaus offsides happened.
I think that when I first watched it, it looked like Umgarl, maybe a little bit Kessler, I think. I don't know. I should have went back and watched it, but it, like, neither of them committed to closing down that space, and within like a second, the ball was off his foot. Like, it was such a little hesitation, and by the time somebody made a move, the ball was already at Lunt or past him going into the net. So it was just such a small thing that kills you, especially afterwards with the Klaus VAR incident.
Yeah, like I said, all three center backs kind of just gravitated towards the number nine, and then Bumgarner realized Kessler has a number nine, takes one step out, and as soon as he takes that step, that's when Rossi hits it, and it's, I mean, I don't think he should score from the pace. I mean, it's a really well-placed ball, but I mean, it wasn't going too quick. It was side netting, but that's pretty far out. Lunt definitely got a bad reaction on it. I don't know if Berkey saves it either, just because Berkey's a little bit shorter than Lunt, but I think Berkey's out farther and probably in better position. That's how he would save that one. Lunt was back farther, and as soon as Rossi hits it, I just don't think Lunt expected him to hit it right there. Because as soon as he's hitting that ball, Lunt's kind of doing a shuffle to the left towards the near post. So then he's already a millisecond off when he's jumping back to the right, and at that point it didn't matter.
Hopefully Toy Shirt was watching, so he knows you don't have to
hit
a missile at the goal every time you shoot.
God, that dude. Speaking of not shooting piss missiles, do we want to move on to the Betcher, both of his misses? I mean, I can't tell which one was worse.
Before we get to his terrible misses, in the, was it the 66, Celio had a ball in that almost scored off the rip. You guys remember that? It was a good save by the Columbus goalkeeper, which then led to the corner in the, I think it was it the corner on the Klaus debacle where Bumgarner heads it down to Klaus, and then, yeah, we can get to the Betcher miss. But I just wanted to point out, Celio had a free kick on the right side there. That was almost like a corner with how far down that free kick was. And it needed to be saved. It almost went in.
Jack, this is kind of your moment. I know Betcher we talked
sucks,
about
sucks, dude. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
This is what I'm waiting for. I'm teeing you up.
3 weeks ago, I said it. And I mean, and he said nothing but prove me right.
The second miss was so bad, but the first one was, he actually, they were doing that high press, shades of 2023 City, and he gets it. I mean, he is, probably 16 yards out. He even could have dumped that off to, I think it was Hartel that just put his hands on his knees because he couldn't believe it. And he just sends this thing a fucking pee roller 3 yards to the right of the goal. Like, how do you... I don't know if he probably didn't expect to get the ball there, but there's no excuse, man. I'm riled up, dude. I'm riled up. God, I remember watching that.
Rushed.
And I was just like, yeah.
He was off balance, left foot.
Yeah, got a million excuses.
I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that's why
he's got to score a goal. He had two amazing chances to score a goal. He didn't even put in effort either time.
This one he intercepts, he either needs to dump that off or take one more touch maybe, because he's fading away. Klaus is there to his left, unguarded. He could have backheeled he didn't even have to touch it. He could have just left it for Hartel. Then Hartel's on his front foot and his strong foot. And then he tries a turnaround shot was it with his weak foot? Let me, like, I have it pulled up here. He like does a shot. Yeah, he does a turnaround shot. It was his right foot, but no, hold on, let me put my left. L is for left. Yeah, so it's his weak foot and he drags it across the goal. Just a wrong decision. Like, I get it if you don't score there. Like, if you hit a good shot and the goalie makes a save stretched out, I'd still be a little upset. But I get it. But to just not put that on target and not be dangerous at all from when you get that ball 16 yards out is just so frustrating. And the worst part of it, Jack, is that wasn't even his worst miss.
I mean, when you're counting misses, it's not a good look for your striker. It's just he needs to go.
Away. Doing that for everyone, though. We're counting everyone's misses.
Go away.
I mean, send Hartel, him back to Denmark.
Hartel put his hands on his knees. Just he just couldn't believe it.
Did,
and then,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to go. The next chance that I would say he botched was like that. Not even the one that was point blank, but Celio had the ball, put another great ball in right to Klaus. Klaus hits a really good header right at the goalie. Goalie makes a great save, but it pops up to Becher. And instead of one time in it off the goalie, like, I feel like you're close enough to the goal, you just have to volley that in. He tries to chest it down to his feet. By the time he chests it down to his feet, he's on the in line and then tries to play another little lob pass over. And of course it gets intercepted by the defense. And we're still not at the worst miss of the night yet for him.
Yeah, that's two of three. In
like
that,
watching
like,
the
two,
watching the replay,
stretch.
Yeah, watching the replay, it's just like, gosh, dang it! I even forgot about this miss, and I forgot about this miss, and the bad one's not even here yet, and we're already 10 minutes into him fucking it up.
We got Oistrakh and Joyner. They get any chances? They had so much time.
I mean, did they even get a rating? They weren't even out there. They weren't even out there wrong enough. Yeah, 87th minute.
We played like, what, 10 minutes with the extra time?
Yeah, and I think the extra time was cut off a minute or two short because they had that injury that lasted about 3 minutes, and then it was blown in the 97th after 5 minutes of added time.
Trevor's got his tinfoil hat on today.
I'm just saying.
He's had a lot of conspiracies today.
Big MLS wants to keep City out of the points.
Before we get into the points game and wrapping it up, can everybody go one word describe this game? Start with Jack.
Promising.
Oh. Wrong. Disappointing. Frustrating. Annoying. Frustrating.
He said one word, Cole. You don't have to give him four.
Didn't ask for a bunch of syllables. Thesaurus over here.
Frustrating. Final answer.
Trevor. Is that the word, or are you thinking?
I'm trying to think. Because I don't want to just say like conspiracy or something.
Mosaic.
The Cardinals front office is the reason City can't score. Is that one? I got three words for you. Must see TV. I don't frustrating is a good one. I would just say, skip me and just you, why don't you do your word first and then I'll come back to me.
My word.
Can we talk about?
Can we talk
about
my
Jack
or my word?
Actually, I do have a word. Can I do my word real quick?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I want to do my word.
No, I got one though now. Before I forget it, let me say it.
No, I said, and then I want to do my word.
Okay, so
okay,
I'll go.
Fine, okay, fine. Fine.
Here's my word. Here's my word. Christ.
I can't believe it took you that long to think of that.
Yeah, mine would be the first thing out of your mouth.
Right. Mine would be the word encouraging.
No.
It's a step in the right direction, man.
It was a step in the right direction.
It'd have been 2-2, big MLS. Keeping us down.
Should have been 8-2. Honestly.
I mean, yeah. Becher should have a hat trick. Becher's hat trick would have shut Jack up, but he fucking bungled it. We still haven't really.
Becher should lead the MLS in goals at this point.
We still haven't talked about his really bad miss.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't even know if we should get into that.
Can I talk about it for 10 seconds.
I just can't believe that you guys think that was encouraging. Like, It should have been 4-5. We lost
2-0 to freaking Sporting Kansas City.
Did you say and we're doing the same shit.
No, really?
Nothing's changing.
These last two games, offensively, have been a step in the right direction.
The reason I want to talk about Boettcher's terrible miss is because I don't even know if Leuven himself could make this pass Morales did. Morales put his head up and probably a 40 to 50 yards in the air, drops this on the feet of Boettcher. Boettcher lets it bounce once, and instead of doing anything productive, he tries to do like a little off the bounce outside the foot volley past the goalie, and it goes off his toe and goes about, I don't know, probably 2 to 3 miles per hour. Like, he hardly even redirects it, just kind of whiffs the ball right into the clutches of the goalie. They kick it out. City loses. Freaking ridiculous.
All right, Cole, tell us about Jack's lead in the City Limits guessing game.
I guess we can. Yes, Jack was the only one that got a point again for his Klaus prediction that he's made for 2 months now, a month in a row.
I wouldn't get one if he used Wallum correctly.
I doubled my lead.
Yeah, Jack did. No one else got anything right. No goal scorer, man of the match, or correct score.
You guys are running out of games here.
We're struggling. Jack is at 4 in the lead. I'm at 2-1.
You don't have to run down every. You don't have to run it down every time.
I'm already mapping out where this signed Kyle Hebert jersey is going on my wall.
Did we actually shake on that? Because now I don't want to spend the money.
It's actually recorded.
You don't want to spend internet. You don't want to spend $10 each.
Yeah. I don't know if you can get a signed Kyle Hebert jersey. We're gonna have to get a Kyle Hebert jersey and ask him on the pod.
I want to add something if I win by double digits.
No, can't keep adding stuff.
If I win by double digits, I want a Kyle Hebert meet and greet. I want you guys to set that up for me.
You don't have the pool for that.
She has a connection to him.
Best we can do is tell you where to stand outside the practice field.
He doesn't even do the signings, Cole. Has he ever done the signing? You go to the signings.
Yeah. Yeah, he has.
He has done one.
He's available to his fan base, which is growing.
Jack's going to be like with the kids wanting the autographs on the corner of the stadium with the golf warm-ups.
You know what?
I want you guys to make me and Kyle.
We're friends.
I went to Missouri State, too.
I want Fleming's. Just me and Kyle Hebert. You guys got to set it up if I win by double digits.
Jack, that's what you should get is the Missouri State. Yeah, I don't know where you think we're going to get.
Are you going to want the away jersey?
No, you got to get a Missouri State Kyle Hebert signed jersey.
I mean, I don't think you guys can afford those.
What number was he in college?
The Grand Prize isn't a Kyle Hebert, right? It can be whoever you want.
Yes.
Okay, because I was like, I'll let Jack win.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it either. I'd sell it to Jack on the side.
Al Heber was 21 in college.
Honestly, Missouri State's soccer jerseys are awesome.
Yeah, all right, let's wrap this up.
Jack got a point. No one else did. He's winning. City can't score. Even though they did, they kind of suck.
All right. Yeah,
Trevor's got 0.
Okay, we're having fun.
I don't know how we're calling it encouraging, but we lost for the 4th straight time. We're playing again one of the better teams in the league, so we will be back for another false hope preview on Friday, previewing Vancouver. And until then, let's go City.